Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mari, this is going to be good, right, guys?
This may not be good.
All right. Here we go. This is what I came up with for the intro. Yeah, I'm recording. Here we go.
Oh, no. Wait.
What?
You're going to surprise us.
Yeah, I'm going to surprise you. That's what I was doing by saying, hey, here's the intro.
Are you rolling?
Check.
Yes, I'm rolling.
Check.
Oh, I didn't know this was on tape right now.
Here we go.
This is lightning. I'm Dave, the King of Mexico.
And this is DJ Omar Khan, the production dude from The Kevin Bean Show.
So this is called The B-Team. And how it came about is we figured that, you know, I've been with the show since 91. Dave, you've been with the show for how long?
Since 99.
99 in Omar?
99, yeah.
I was able to swoop in around 2001.
We know that you have questions about the morning show. We've got stuff that we want to talk about the morning show, having worked with Kevin and Bean and the whole crew for so many years. And there's stuff that makes the air that we want to talk about, and there's stuff that doesn't make the air that we'd like to talk about.
And also, you know, Kevin and Bean are limited on time, you know, when it comes to being on the air. They can't really flesh topics out. That's something that, you know, maybe we can do here. Obviously, probably not as good as them.
No.
You know what I mean?
And they don't always see the magic that we do.
We hopefully will be able to bring you some of the behind-the-scenes magic.
Yeah.
That, you know, they once in a while, Kevin and Bean pull back the curtain when Ralph does the funny voices and stuff, and Ralph will crack up. But there's a lot more that's happening behind the scenes that you guys want to know about. I think you do. But no one's going to share that with you unless we do.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happens off the air that is funny, and we never talk about it because we don't have the chance to.
Right.
So we'll bring that here, hopefully.
And also, I don't think that this is, we're not the Kevin and Bean replacement show. This is called the B-Team for a reason.
Far from it.
This is just three jackasses sitting in a room, and we're going to bring in some people, you know, Beer Mug and Christine and Chip and all the various people from the building. The crew, yeah, absolutely.
The people who don't talk on the mic.
That deserve
a reason. Talk about the show? I'll talk about the show. The show sucks.
Boom.
It's not fair to judge us. We've just started.
This is a bad start to whatever we're doing.
It's true. It's called the B-Team, right?
We are the B-Team.
And yes. I heard that you have an intro. Is that true?
I do.
Come along now. Take a ride with the B-Team. Let's get together and take a look behind the scenes. Talking about Kevin and Bean. Come on, let's start the show. Everybody grab your Vaseline. The B-Team. Yeah. The B-Team. The B-Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B-Team.
Baby.
All right.
I don't know. I'm on the fence.
It's so happy. Well, it makes me so happy.
Here's what I like about it. It has that Two Door Cinema Club feel to it.
Yeah.
And I love that style of music.
Yeah.
So, and then you sing on it. But I dig it. And I think maybe a little less Vaseline.
Oh,
yeah,
the Vaseline is the best part. You know me.
Dave, thank you for bringing that up.
A little less Vaseline because I think we're going to go in a little easier than jamming it in there. So
well,
we don't need the lube.
That's why I wanted the
Vaseline
lube.
Like Cube says.
All right.
Yeah. So Omar, let's take out the Vaseline line.
Okay.
And the squish sound effect,
yeah.
I think.
And then I'll add a couple more of those.
I think we need a little more
That sounds pretty bad, but I don't speak asshole.
I think that we owe the audience of like one dude in Pacoima that's listening right now.
No one listens to Pacoima.
I think that we owe someone some more background.
Yeah,
who we are.
Let's get to know each other. I mean, I know you guys, but a lot of people don't know you guys. So, Lightning, what's up with you?
What's up with me?
Yeah, how's your life been up to here?
Yesterday, my monster truck, got run into. I was on the 405 freeway cruising through like Redondo yesterday, and my little app that's connected to the alarm on my phone went off, and
you weren't even there.
No, I was not there, and I called my wife.
Yeah.
And I said, my alarm went off. What's going on? And she, about a minute later, she called me back and she says, someone ran into your truck. And I said, it's parked in front of her house. It's a giant, enormous dually that's got a custom car cover on it.
How high is it? Because these tires are huge, and they're like, I think, the size of me.
I mean, it's got a 12-inch lift, and it's got 37-inch tires. The truck's 9 feet off the ground. I mean, total, you know, to the top of the truck. And so it's got a car cover on it. Apparently, a guy is driving down the street, and he decides, as he passes the vehicle, this is on a small residential street, decides that as he's passing the truck, he wants to see what's under the cover. He's curious now. So he's about four car lengths down the street, and he decides to back up. As he backs up, he nails the front, the driver's side front wheel, and then proceeds to hit the rear wheel. I have two wheels on either side of the dually.
Right.
And he hits it with such force, he basically totals the right rear of his car because he's backing up in full throttle. And he pushes my 10,000-pound truck over to the right, smooshing into the curb.
Oh, my God.
And my, you know, my wife runs out, and we had a friend over there, and he runs out. And
they throw blows.
And they didn't throw blows, but he was pissed. And the guy was blaming my wife for having the truck parked out in front of the house. It's too wide, and it's illegal. I'm like, bro, it doesn't matter if this were a semi or a freight train. You hit a parked vehicle.
Right.
And not only do you stop the first time you passed it, and then you backed up.
That's
hilarious. And you hit it when you went to go look because you were curious.
Right. Wow.
Douchey Van Berenstein. I mean, so cops finally show up, take a report, the whole thing. And his car was toast. Wow. Some an old, like, Monte Carlo or something.
Serves that guy right.
So that was yesterday, and then and also that was after Adrian left us. So Adrian, in our promotions department, we helped. I helped him pack his stuff up. That's Adrian's been with
that guy
the
is
station.
Weird. He makes me uncomfortable.
No, Adrian's cool, dude. We all are gonna miss Adrian. Adrian's the second one to leave the company after Aisa. Aisa was the promotions and marketing director. Yeah. What's that?
So there was a little more, but you know.
Yeah. So we've been people have been leaving the station. So that was already tough to take.
You're the reason people hate us.
Well done.
So yesterday was a sucky day. But that's crazy. Not really about me. That's about just what happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been with the station since, like I said, 91. Started out as an intern for the Kevin and Bean show. And started in June of 91. And I failed up the ladder. And I basically, at that time, it was Maria D'Arcangelo, the producer, me, a phone op, and Kevin and Bean. And
is insane.
So we did the whole thing, and it was get to work at 3:45 in the morning and leave usually around 6 p.m. at night.
But it was also, like you say, you know, you throw around, you failed up the ladder, but you also had a passion for the show, you had a passion for radio, and your work ethic. I've never seen a guy with a work ethic like you. They put you to do a task, and you're obviously the first one here, the last one to leave, which is amazing. And you were just, I mean, obviously Kevin and Bean, you know, they mock you, they call you lightning or whatever, you know, but you would
so
just, you know what I mean? chose you to be their producer eventually because of your work ethic and your dedication and your passion. And I've never seen, I mean, when you get passionate about something, it's unrivaled. Do you know what I mean? Even if people were like, oh,
thank
I don't
you,
know,
Omar.
Whatever. No, it's true. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's crazy. And how long were you producer for?
Producer for the first like 3-4 years, or co-producer, then producer, then executive producer. I think all in total, 14.
That's insane.
Something like
that's
that.
That's insane. Wow. That's insane.
I was with the show for, you know, over 20.
Right. And then,
but I had to work up to that point.
Yeah. And then, and people don't realize, like, now the Kevin and Bean show has morphed into this kind of, I mean, we're part of K-Rock and everything, but we are kind of our own little island with our own little staff that has 3 times the staff that you had, 4 times the staff.
Yeah.
I mean, back
in
the day.
We did have a staff of 8 or 9.
Yeah,
right
back
now.
In the day, it was lightning editing, lightning recording intros, lightning on the street. It was lightning on the phones. It was lightning. That to me, knowing the show where I came into, where it was kind of like, you know, already kind of like halfway, you know, with the staff buildup, it's crazy that only one person was in charge of all that and having to deal with those assholes too.
Yeah, and they were bigger dicks back then.
Yeah,
yeah. We always give them crap for this, but we always like, you guys were such dicks, and they're like, no, we weren't. We were the same. Yeah, right. But were you producer with Cortland?
Yes. So I was Cortland and I were co-producers, correct. Right, yeah. Cortland Cox, who now is a successful television producer. Mm. He does all kinds of reality TV. Cortland Cox was a roommate of Ralph Garman and Adam Carolla. Crazy. So this is they kind of had this little club and that infiltrated the radio station. Yeah.
Because that's when I kind of got into the Kevin and Bean show in high school, was hearing Cortland and Lightning and all these crazy guys. And that's where I kind of was like, oh, I like these dudes. And mm-hmm. I'll stick with them because I was a Jay Thomas guy.
Oh,
I was
Jay
Thomas. Power 106.
And
Baker Boys.
Baker Boys guy. Yeah,
me too.
You know, I love the roll call.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to hear, know Jensen Karp now who won the whole roll call thing. But yeah, so then that you guys just, you and Courtney and then Tad. And so that's what brought me over. And it was unreal to get this job, like to come in and apply to K-Rock. And then a week later.
And Dave and I started kind of doing the same thing, answering phones. Yeah. And then he got the job being the exclusive phone screener for the Kevin Bean show.
Yeah. Even though they wanted to hire a guy named Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was David. And
they
told me, all right, Gabe, you're hired. And I said, cool, but I'm Dave. Am I still hired? And they're like, yeah, I guess.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. That's how Kevin and Bean roll.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if they make a mistake, they're like, yeah, it's fine.
I told you.
And it's amazing how things just seem to work out.
Yeah.
They're so like laissez-faire about so many things that you and I would flip out about. We think that, no, this is a very important detail. I also think it's one of those things where they've been around the block. You know what I mean? And they're like, that's probably in the big picture, it's not worth to worry about. You know, right. I mean, seriously, now knowing Dave, does it really matter what phone screener they had? No, it doesn't matter. No. You know what I mean? They
can although Gabe was a good dude and he would have probably been better at it than I was.
Really?
Yeah, but he would have left them. So I think they made the right choice. Light, did you have an interview with the guys?
No,
so
I didn't.
You were thrown to them.
So what happened was that I went to interview. Originally, I was going to Rancho Santiago College in Santa Ana, and they passed around these internship forms for Pirate Radio and for KLOS and some other station. And I thought, that sounds kind of interesting. And I was taking television courses and stuff and how to be a camera op and all these other things. I thought, but radio sounds really fun. And I used to listen to Richard Blade, and he had this girl, Michelle, that was his assistant. And I thought, wow, I could be someone's Michelle. That would be interesting.
I remember Michelle, yeah.
Yeah, super cool girl. And they pass around these forms, and I fill it out for KLOS, and they were the first to call me back. And I get all the way up to Culver City, and I go, I don't want to work for Mark and Brian. And I turned around and drove home.
Are you serious?
I just flaked out on the meeting completely.
Wow.
I don't know if I would have got the internship, but I just straight was like, I don't really like those guys. I mean, it didn't. They were the biggest show in radio for a decade prior to Kevin and Bean. They were huge.
Right.
And so then a couple months later, I think at some point I submitted an application to K-Rock because I thought it would be fun. Mm-hmm. And I eventually got a call from Maria Darkangelo, who's the second morning show producer after Laura Brown. And I went in to interview at the station, and I went in a suit and tie, and I figured it was a job interview for me.
Yeah.
I walk in with all these other people who are interviewing, and they have eyeliner on. They're straight out of Depeche Mode, like Cure fans, whatever. And they are freaks with mohawks and stuff. And I thought, oh, man, I'm never going to get this. Like, I do not fit in.
Right.
I love the station, but I thought I was there to work. And Maria, who had just come from CAA, working for, I think it was Michael Ovitz, like, she was coming out of, like, her Rolodex was crushing. She was out of Emerson. She was straight-laced, like conservative, and also didn't fit the mold of the station, but she was, again, there to work and to really turn the Kevin and Bean show into something.
Right.
And I walk in, and I said, I'm Jay, and she's like, she almost wanted to hire me on the spot.
And you're 18 at this point?
No, I'm 20.
20, okay.
I'm 20. And so we hit it off, and she brought me in, and Kevin and Bean were on their There It Is summer vacation, getting their head shaved in Texas, wearing cowboy hats.
The good old days.
So Kevin and Bean, my first time meeting them in person was, I'm 4 days on the job, 5 days on the job, and Mark the Wiffle Boy was their assistant at the time and was getting tapes from on the road. The guys would FedEx tapes back, cassettes. Mm-hmm. Mark would edit them and then play them back, or sometimes they'd do it live and call in.
Right.
So here it is, 4 days into my internship. I'm sitting at my tiny little desk next to Maria's, and I look up, and Kevin and Bean are wearing cowboy hats in the doorway, and they're 9 feet tall, and they're like, who's this? It's like, Maria says, this is Jay. He's one, our new intern.
Yeah.
And they just blew me off and walked in the studio, and I was – I didn't know what to say. I was so scared.
They're very intimidating guys. They were more so back in the day. Yeah.
Dude, they're bald. They're 9 feet tall. And Kevin's got more weight on him than he does now. And they're just, they looked menacing and scary. And I wanted to die. But I just kept trudging along.
Yeah.
You know, and this was at a time when they really needed people. They needed, because there was no internet. So we were cutting out newspaper articles. And I had an almanac, a farmer's almanac. So I know the birthdays and everything had to be handed to them on paper. Yeah. So it was just generating content, stacks of paper every day. And that's what we were there to do. And just worked, I don't know. I worked tirelessly because it was so hard. It was the older two brothers that were abusive to the younger brother.
Right.
And treated him like ass. So all the younger brother wants to do is impress them.
Right.
So the more bloodied they'd get me, the harder I wanted to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess that's how it happened. I just always wanted to impress them constantly.
Yeah.
And I failed a lot. There's no question. But in the process, I learned a lot. And that's, I don't know. That's why I'm maybe still here today. I'm not sure.
That's cool.
All right, so guys, that's enough about me. I think what we do, rather than bore everyone to go through, let's do on the next episode, Dave, it's your turn. In the third episode, we'll dig into Omar. Because Omar's got kids I want to hear about. People don't know that he's married to a beautiful, Kaz. He's gorgeous. Like, we need to dig into, some personal lives here. Yeah. Not that people care. Maybe they don't, and they've tuned out since, by now. But I think that, and we're going to dig into people. If you ever wondered about, anyone on the show, you're going to find out on the B-Team. Yeah.
So let's step up to our first segment that we're going to do, and we're going to call it So That Happened.
Oh, is that what we're calling it?
So That Happened. So what we're going to do is we're going to highlight, maybe right now we're going to do two pieces, and I actually isolated a piece that you guys don't know about.
This is our segment where something in the morning show went wrong?
Wrong or not right wrong, or whatever, we're just going to break something down.
Something happened.
So that happened. So that happened. How did that really go down? We're gonna break it all down. We hope to enlighten. So that happened.
Ooh, I love it.
Like it?
I like that one.
Yeah, I'm digging the 90s Real Big Fish St. Ferris vibe right there.
Thanks,
yeah.
Dude. So no, this bit happened last week.
Oh.
Okay, let's play it and then we'll discuss what happened because it's hilarious. So this is Ralph doing a Trump.
They only have sometimes a few billion dollars in the bank just to sit on while they're also serving the country.
Right.
Unbelievable what they give up. So
all
the poor people need really what they need to do is shut up and be poor.
Okay.
And sit there.
Is that your slogan for 2020? Shut up and be poor?
Yes. And pre-existing conditions, right? That's what that is. So no health.
All right.
No health.
Wow. That's a slogan.
Wow. That's a great slogan as well.
Making America no health again.
I like it too.
Okay.
Summer is officially here. I remember, I was in my car listening, and I heard that. I'm like, go to the commercial. That's a punchline.
Yeah, so.
So what happened there?
People don't ask me, but people ask Kevin and Bean, do you guys have scripts? Do you guys write everything? People don't understand.
No scripts.
People hear that. Gene, I have Gene ask me, who wrote whatever?
Hold on a second, guys. Gene is in the programming department right under Mr. Weatherby.
Right, yeah, right.
And he wears his watch outside his pants.
Thanks, Dave. Good callback.
So a lot of people assume that, the stuff we do isn't off the cuff. It's scripted. Premeditated and scripted. Yeah. It's 100% improv. I mean, the only thing that has a slight script to it is Ralph will read some text for a showbiz story. That's probably the only thing,
I mean, he reads the story and travels.
Everything else is, we read the article, we get some bullet points, and he ad-libs for the most part. All this comedy stuff, I'm sitting right here. I pull all the sound effects for him. I'm standing right next to him. He jots down usually maybe three or four little, quick notes.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up with he's amazing. What I mean? He just comes up with all this funny stuff. So for, I don't know, the first 8 years, we would not have any kind of way to signal Kevin to get out of the bit. Or right. Ralph is coming out of jokes.
Let me paint the picture. Here's what's going on here. You got four studios here at K-Rock. Yeah. All right. So these are 20 by 20 rooms, right? They're decent size. And they all share a window. But the windows are so fogged up and there's been so much splooge on the windows.
Oh,
you can't see four windows over, right? These are windows that are made to protect.
Eight windows because they're double windows.
Right. They're double pane to keep the sound in. All right.
Yeah.
So we are now in Studio Q.
Which is the last one.
The last one. And right. Kevin and Bean do the show live every morning from Studio K on the far end. So Kevin and Bean are in Studio K doing the bit, reading the article.
Setting everything up.
Ralph and Omar are in Q, 80 feet away, separated by all these windows that are all fogged up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's no way that they can communicate when the bit is over. Ralph knows I've got a funny line, I'm going to deliver it. And how do I signal Kevin, who is going to get out of the bit and go to a commercial or whatever he's going to do?
Right.
How do I signal the guys? And there was never any good communicate because if he points, Kevin can't see him. No. It's too foggy.
For the most
windows.
Part, you know, pre this, you know, and we're going to talk about the bomb button, pre-bomb button. It was kind of a thing that you would feel, and you would you feel the crescendo. You do,
right.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Or the
and
funny
then,
joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
you know, you get it. Yeah.
But sometimes Ralph, because he's freaking amazing, would have these dramatic pauses,
yeah.
and Kevin, not knowing it was a dramatic pause, would jump in with a commercial,
yep.
and then
yeah.
Ralph is here and just goes.
Yeah.
He's just deflated.
Yeah, for sure. And I've seen that time and time again. So about 5 years ago, our engineering genius, Rick Rippey, installed this, what we call the bomb button. And it's
bomb.
Button. Yeah. And
it's a
button that literally has a bomb on it. And Ralph's job is to press that little button, and it would flicker. It flickers a light in the main air studio
mm-hmm.
on and off. And that's a signal for Kevin to go to commercial.
Okay.
So in this particular instance, Ralph is, you know, going off the cuff and everything, and he has his microphone way over here. So it's far away from the bomb button.
So he can't reach it with
his
right arm.
So he can't really reach it. So he's like, and here's the thing with Ralph, too, is that he's so improv that he doesn't know when the bit's going to end himself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Unless he has a very, and he's done this in the past where he has a structured bit, you know what I mean? And he knows that this is going to be a huge laugh out, but 90% of the time, he doesn't know.
Okay.
So he himself didn't know that was going to be the end of the bit, and it had a big laugh, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So this is what's happening.
I like it, too.
Big laugh, and he's reaching, trying to press a bomb button.
Okay. You can't reach it.
You can't reach it.
Summer.
So, and then commercial happens,
so
you know
Kevin
what I mean?
Kevin laughs thinking
there's something else, but then, you know, Kevin realizes, no, that's it. So then he hits the commercial. So
which, and there's that super awkward pause that we can never get rid of, and it's...
Right.
Yeah.
So then, which brings me to today. So this is what happened today.
Oh, no.
It's an exciting but dangerous life being a spy cat.
So we're talking.
Oh,
no, this is the Wheel
CIA
of Bad Animal Voices.
CIA spy cats.
CIA yeah. spy cats.
It's an exciting but dangerous life being
right?
a spy cat.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I bet, yeah.
The upside is the ladies, however.
Oh.
Oh.
You can get pussy galore.
I mean...
Right?
The 4th of July sales event is going on now.
So Kevin, knowing that he missed it, says, right?
Yeah.
Wait, did he hit it today?
So Ralph hit it today. But, you know, my guess is always that, you know, when you have a hearty laugh, you kind of close your eyes?
Yeah.
Or you're not paying attention? So I'm imagining Kevin kind of like, ah, ha, ha, and then he's like, oh, my God, the light's going off. And, you know, he missed the commercial or whatever, you know what
okay,
I mean? But that's classic.
So that happened.
You guys want to do a minute with Muggs?
Just do it.
Okay, hold on.
Muggs!
He's already in here.
Oh.
How did he get no idea? What a I'm looking down the hallway going, why is he? Okay, all right. Can we edit this out? No, we're not editing.
There we go.
Minute with Muggs. Our friend Beer Mug can use some hair plugs. Minute with Muggs. Our friend Beer Mug does a lot of drugs. Minute with Muggs. Our friend Beer Mug, man, he really bugs. That's why we gave him only one freaking minute, cause if he really sucks, we'll yell, yo, man, beat it.
God damn it!
One minute with Muggs.
Why you call yourself Beer Mug, then? That means you are always on like a little baby boy. Mwah, 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 beer. I need a beer. Oh, Beer Mug. Where's my mug? Where's my beer?
That's my favorite. I like that intro.
Wow, Beer Mug got it. That wasn't an intro. That was a song.
That's fucking dope. So thanks for coming by. That was your minute.
Oh, come on.
All right, so you got Omar, myself, Lightning, Dave in the studio here. Muggs, step up to the microphone here. You use
How's
Omar.
That?
So we only have three in this studio queue here. So what did you think of your intro?
That was a standing O for O right there. That was amazing.
We're all standing mugs.
God, that was unbelievable. Where did that Sam clip come from, by the way? I don't even remember.
That was Sam the Armenian Comedian. That's vintage right there. I think that's after you first started. So what we should do here, I think, is tell everyone who Beer Mug is. Beer Mug had a little larger presence a few years ago when he was the guy behind Kevin. It's that person is now Chip.
You hear smaller presence.
Right, much smaller presence. Now Muggs is in charge of the phone bank. And when you call K-Rock, he's the person you speak with. So he's the first line of defense, right?
Not much of a defense,
right?
Really.
Exactly. And Muggs is also, can we say who you're married to?
Sure.
Nicole Alvarez.
Woo!
Which doesn't make sense to any of us because Nicole is super amazing and smoking hot and really talented. And then there's you.
Yeah, I married up.
Right? There's no question about that. And then you guys had a kid.
I know.
So Muggs, you've been with the station for how long now?
Since 2005, I started in promotions, and then I kind of worked my way around the office. I heard that Jed the Fish's board op back then was leaving, and I went into the operations manager and said, hey, I board op at my college radio station. I'd be perfect for this job.
Okay. Again, that's Gene, who...
Gene, yeah.
The man who wears the watch on the outside his pants.
And says, we're looking sloppy, and he said, okay, when can you start? So I... The week after I went to his office, started for board hopping for Jed the Fish for about a year. That was an interesting time.
Did he ever, was he ever naked?
No. He made me stand in the corner one time.
I remember that.
He made me literally stand in the corner like a five-year-old for about a minute.
You screwed up, didn't you?
Yeah, I screwed up something, and he told me to go stick my head in the corner.
Yeah.
He also sent me out for a food run one time. When I was never supposed to leave the studio, and there was a certain number of K-Rock imaging elements that all had to be linked in our program.
Oh, right. So those are sound effects.
Sound effects.
K-Rock.
Yeah. New music. Right. So what happened was he sends me to McDonald's. I'm in the McDonald's drive-thru listening to the station, and I hear Jed going to this new imaging, and it sounds like this. New K-Rock music. From... whatever band it was.
Okay.
And that's like, and that happens for like another three elements. I'm like, oh my God,
oh,
Jed
no.
didn't link them. So Gene and Kevin Weatherby come in and say, what the hell are you doing, Jed? Where's Johnny, your board op? It's my real name. Right. And he said, oh, I sent him out for a food run. And they're like, no, Jed, you cannot do that. You cannot send your board op that's supposed to be watching the board and running it for you out. This is what happens when you do that. So, I was there for a suspension of one of his.
Oh.
But I'd rather not say what he did, but it was pretty bad.
I think people know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of the older listeners might know. Yeah.
Yeah. It had to do with a Flobot song and writing of the handlebars, but he replaced the handlebars word with a certain word.
Oh, no, that's not what I was thinking
of.
Okay, I remember that. Yeah.
So they suspended him for about 2 weeks. And then I started board hopping for Rodney on the Rock.
1 minute.
Oh, come on.
Thanks for coming.
My time is up.
1 minute.
Damn it.
1 minute with Mugs.
All right, you'll find out more on next episode.
I think we can. This is the inaugural B Team podcast. We knew it was going to be a disaster, so we can make it through this. If they stuck with us this long, they're in for the long haul here. Kind of followed the tradition of me, then Big Tad, and then you know, and the Michael the Maintenance Man and stuff like that, and then you know, and then you.
Yeah.
And so, tell me a little bit about that. What was your experience like working directly, literally 3.5 feet? From Kevin.
I mean, it's funny because I listened to the show in high school before I even worked at K-Rock. And I remember Big Tad. And I remember what. Come
minute,
on.
1 minute. Sorry.
Never gets old.
And so I listened to the show. So I kind of had an idea of what they did to Tad, but I never kind of realized that would turn into me. So yeah, the first time that I experienced Kevin's wrath. I think I was during like a food run or something, and I don't know what happened. I think
you
forgot.
Screwed up his order?
I don't think I even brought his order.
Right.
I brought everybody else's food, and like the only guy who bought breakfast for everybody, I forget his meal.
Yeah, Kevin's always. Bags of food
and I ordered like three meals off the value menu, and I didn't bring anything for Kevin.
Yeah.
And
you know what's funny is I was I had that role for a minute, like a quick little second of where I had to go do things, and what I did was like the naked pumpkin and stuff like that. And I don't think they enjoyed it. Like, I think I was either too nice or whatever, and they didn't like doing it to me. So They stopped with it.
There's definitely a personality that has to play along but not like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Tad and Muggs are, they have that, they fit that personality. You know what I mean?
Like,
I mean,
I was good with it. I did it, but I don't think they just liked me doing it. So they're we like Dave.
And
so.
Especially in this medium, you need that certain realness. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If not, it's going to come off as fake, and you can't do that with these kind of, with those kind of bits.
They want real resistance. They want, you know, with the first guy before me, was Mark the Wolf Boy, and he had real resistance, didn't want to do that stuff, and like he and the guys got into issues, and then it was me, and I didn't want to do the stuff, but I thought it was necessary to keep my job, and so I made it known that I was not happy being streaking Santa in a 7-Eleven. Yeah. And then there was Big Tad, who also knew that it was necessary, but he pushed back. Yeah. Michael the maintenance man ended up, you know, that ended up in a lawsuit. You can wiki that. And so there, and then we got Muggs, who, you know, also, but you push back, but not that hard.
See, I would push back to the point where Kevin and or Bean and or Ralph would have to convince me, listen, just do it. It's fine. It'll be funny. And I'd be like, okay, whatever. I'm game.
1 minute with Muggs.
One minute with Muggs.
Hey, so Omar. For future reference for other shows, I think it's 30 seconds with Muggs, and I'm not allowed to host because I'm too interested in what Muggs has to say.
I mean, that was like 10 minutes with Muggs.
I'm not, so I'll be perfect at this.
You're so funny. Other shows.
That was a little optimistic, I know. Well, the B team, this is our first one. You know, I think we wanted to let it breathe, dig into the characters and the, you know, some of the behind-the-scenes here stuff. So,
bye, guys.
All right, see you, dude. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Muggs.
Bye. Thanks, man.
Let the door close. Do people care about Muggs?
Do people care about Muggs?
I think the real Muggs, yeah.
Oh, yeah. People definitely care about Muggs, for sure. He's a huge part of the show. He's
And I think if you get to know the real Muggs.
Yeah, for sure.
Not just the outrageous guy, because that's him.
Yeah.
But there's
and I
a
think
little heart behind
there,
it.
There was maybe a point 4 or 5 years ago where we would have him on the air, and he would genuinely irritate the out of people.
Yeah.
But now I think he's better on the air now.
All right, well, that was a minute with Muggs.
That was a minute.
Sorry about
with
that,
Muggs.
Guys.
Yeah. Wow, all right.
Can I play you guys something?
Yeah.
So
we talked about, it's not a surprise, but I thought we were doing something else. I had it jotted in my notes, so I have an intro for something else.
Oh.
Remember, so if we do decide to do another one, we're going to do a flashback feature where we're going to take an old Kevin and Bean bit and maybe play it in its entirety, maybe dissect it. We're still not sure what we're going to do it, but we're going to call it Member This. This is one of these intros where in my head, when I was kind of like humming it, I was like, oh yeah, I could hit these notes.
Uh-oh.
So I'm definitely going to have to resing this, but I think it's funny. Now, it's pretty short, but I think it's funny.
Hold on, Omar, before you play this, isn't this a big tease? We're not going to do the segment.
No,
this is just
I just want to pat myself on the back because I think this is good. Yeah, exactly. It's for my own ego.
Right. You worked hard on this.
Yeah.
Hit it, Steve.
Member this. It's time to reminisce.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I love the concept, but my God, are you off key?
Yeah.
Dave, your final thoughts?
I like puppies, and my puppy's very cute, and you should follow her on Instagram because she's cute.
And her Instagram handle?
I don't want to say it.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
Just kidding. It's at Rhonda Ruffy.
And how often does this dog post her own photos?
Oddly enough, it's people posting about her more. But because my girlfriend runs it and she's very busy and I don't really like doing it. But I'll do it from time to time. And it's just
so
like, whenever I have a photo, I'm like,
So if people are posting about your dog, how are they coming in contact with your dog? If she's busy and you're busy, who has the dog that can take photos of her?
My girlfriend has
the dog. Okay.
Yeah, with her at all times.
And
she meets a lot of people, so she's always around town. So.
Oh,
Lightning? I already said mine.
What was yours?
What was yours? Yeah.
I don't have one.
All right.
Good. I think. I don't know.
You don't have any final thoughts?
I don't know. Oh, so yeah, I do. Email us and tell us what, if you're listening to this, email us. And if this is total crap, tell us, hey, this is total crap.
And Light, your final thought?
My final thoughts are, it's more of a question today. The guys this morning were making fun of Funner, California. And so I really thought it would be great to do a singles party in Funner, California, because the guys have made so much fun over the years of Hasselhoff, who is the unofficial or official mayor of Funner, California, which is a made-up city east of San Diego.
It's a real city now.
It's a real city?
Yeah.
And so I thought, hey, Dave, we should do a singles party there. But now after the bit this morning, I can't imagine that they would be happy to...
Wrong, sir, because we posted that on our Facebook page, a story that Forbes did, and all you see in the comments are, we should go there. So, Harrah's Rincon, you're welcome.
I understand that you did a plug for them. But
you're
you,
welcome.
But you also, like, bashed the name and Hoff and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
the, so they know why they got the Hoff. And the Hoff's not a real mayor, by the way. Yeah, I'm sure.
You think
not,
it can still happen?
I'm sure it will. Ooh. I'm sure it will. We'll get a party bus and we'll make it happen. And
I have a final thought.
What's your final thought?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
So make that, that's the secret success, secret to the success of that show.
Well said.
Kept with it though. I felt like I
you did.
You did.
Felt like
you,
I had.
Down, you went down swinging, champ.
That was a moment with Kevin.
And then about a minute later, this happened on today's show.
And now a moment with Bean. So.
I mean, I think that's gonna. I mean, we're all thinking the same thing, but I mean, that is just really gonna take all the fun out of it.
Yeah, we're all thinking
you guys,
that.
What's happening right now?
Oh, no.
That was a moment with Beam.
We're not kidding.
Is he okay? I didn't hear that. Did he survive that?
He's all right. He's okay. All right. Yeah,
so much right. More. There's so much more.
It's crazy.
So good.
It's crazy.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so that was it. What do you think, Light? Do you think we have a lot to work on?
Exactly. It was horrible. We're no Kevin and Bean, and we do not pretend to be.
Listen, we're not professional broadcasters, but we are people who can talk sometimes. So I think between Omar, myself, Dave, and Lightning, we'll be able to tell a story or two. So until next time, guys.
The B-Team.
Yeah!
The B-Team. The B-Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B-Team.
Baby!
Omar, you can fade it.
Okay.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.